A very good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to, no, let's thanks to, Eleni. Thanks to Eleni, for keeping your company on Social Times, on Eagle Social Times. And, now welcome to Mind Matters and welcome to Eagle FM. If you're just joining us and this is your first time actually joining us, today, welcome to the family and welcome to Eagle FM, your number one, talk radio station in the land. All right. If I have to be a weatherman, on this side, scattered thunder shower. Scattered showers around, around this side. Yes. And it bringing some, but of, some heat. It's actually bringing some quite of, some heat actually. So yeah, no, but it's a beautiful weather. Here on this part of the country. How are you doing wherever you are in this land of the brave? So it's time for Mental Health Hours, and this is actually Mind Matters, the program that actually talk about issues that have to do with how you think, how you feel, and how you make decisions in life. So it's a show where we dive into things that truly shapes our life, our thoughts, emotions, and relations. And today's topic, it's one we all need, but rarely master. It's something that we all need, but we really rarely master it. How to resolve conflict using emotional intelligence. That's our topic today. So why emotional intelligence matters in every argument. You don't want to miss that. Not really. Now, let's be real. Conflict is everywhere. It's at work when deadlines get missed, at home when chores, you know, piled up, or even with friends when plans don't go as expected. Sometimes it is as small as deciding what, you know, which restaurant can we go, you know. And other times it's about big. It is about big life-changing disagreement, for example. So, but here's the thing. How we handle this moment can either strengthen our relationship or tear them apart. So that's the thing. Remember, how we handle these moment can either strengthen our relationship or tear them apart. So let me ask you this. Have you ever walked away from an argument thinking, ooh, I could have handled that better? Have you ever walked away from that argument and thinking, I could have actually handled that better? Or maybe, why does this person just not understand me? If you have, then you're not alone. You're not alone at all. All of us have been in that situation. So conflict is hard and it's emotional. But guess what? The key to managing it better, it doesn't lie in outsmarting the other person. Get me right. It doesn't lie in outsmarting the other person. It lies in understanding yourself and understanding them. So that's where it lies. So that's where emotional intelligence comes in. So definitely how we manage disagreement affect every single relationship we have. Our family, our friends, coworkers, even strangers on the street. So how we manage disagreement definitely affect every single relationship we have. So whether you are someone who shut down during argument or the one who can't let go of things, okay, this session today is for you. So grab your coffee, your tea, or anything that is soft, all right? Anything that is soft. And let's uncover how you can use emotional intelligence to turn conflict into opportunity of growth and understand. And today I'm not alone. I won't be alone in the studio. I will reach out to somebody who will be with me maybe for about 40, 45 minutes to talk about this. So when I come back, so we will get into this and and all the nitty-gritty about emotional intelligence, and but specifically looking at how to resolve conflict using emotional intelligence. We will be back. Stay tuned.
Statistics show that more than 12,000 road accidents were recorded in Namibia last year. Therefore, I believe zero is the only acceptable number of accidents on our roads this Easter. It is not impossible. Be responsible, do the right thing, and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
No place to call my home. That's Lucky Ndube. Remember me. You know, remember those days? And so some people, it's only when you play their music that you remember their person. There were people like Ndubes, you know? There were Ndubes also. So welcome back. And as I told you earlier on, that today on the show, I'm not alone. I have been joined by Frida Ndunge Iyambo. Good morning, Frida. Good morning, Ndunge. How are you?
Thank you.
I'm fine. A little bit of a cut. Say that again. Greet me again. I didn't hear you very well.
You didn't?
Now I can hear you very well.
Fantastic. No, I'm saying I'm great, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm okay. So it has been a while. Actually, I have you on the show. So, yeah. So have I ever had you on the show here, really?
Yeah. You know, you actually, a colleague of yours has had me before, but you haven't had me.
It was a colleague of mine. Yeah, no, I remember probably giving you to the colleague of mine. Okay.
Most probably.
Yeah, no, welcome. And today I want us to discuss the how to resolve conflict using emotional intelligence. I know that, you know, this is an area that you have been extensively involved in. You have done some training. You have done some counseling as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's a subject that you are familiar with. So it's something that we want us to talk today on the show, and in a very practical way. And sometimes, you know, when we are in this field as professionals, now we tend to be more academic,
yeah,
and think that, okay, people will understand what we're talking about. But let's do it more in a more practical and relatable way. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. So now when people talk about emotional intelligence, from your point of view, what is this all about? Because for some people, really, this must be a strange field, you know, or a strange area. We talk about emotional intelligence, and some people, it's spoken quite often, but sometimes we may not know really exactly what it is in a relatable way, in a way. I'm not looking for academic definition, but what is this? Terminology, emotional intelligence,
concept.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
How are emotions intelligent? Do they go to school? Are they trained? What do you mean by emotional intelligence?
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly.
An emotion, you know, we tend to believe or want to believe that emotions are spontaneous, they're natural. Mm. You can't tame them. You can't tell me how I'm supposed to feel, because if I feel that way, I just feel that way, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And so that's why the term emotional intelligence can be sort of an oxymoron, because how do you mix intelligence and emotions, right?
Mm, mm.
But you're right. It's a concept that is being so widely discussed of late.
Yeah.
Somewhere, somehow, someone, almost everyone must have come across it to whatever extent, whether they've actually been able to conceptualize it or not.
Yeah.
But really, in a nutshell, emotional intelligence is just your ability as an individual to not only read and act accordingly, read your emotions and act accordingly, but also those of others.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
It goes beyond the just self, but it really has to start with the self, where you are aware of your emotional state.
Mm.
In a given situation, you are aware of situations and how they can lead to certain emotions, and then how to work your way around it. You know, what we want to always be is productive citizens, you know, productive maids, productive, you know. So being aware of your emotions, really, and then acting accordingly, or being aware of what can lead to certain emotions and then also then acting accordingly. So really, I think, trying to not be academic, Mike.
Exactly. So actually, that's when you mentioned that being aware of your emotions, and also maybe to add to that, and you mentioned this is also understanding other people's emotion as well.
Yeah.
And using this awareness now to guide your actions. I think that's the main focus. Now, it's not just a matter of that I'm aware of my emotions, you know, but it's then it has to be that if I'm aware of that, I become so intelligent in the way how I can now use these emotions.
This you know? Is.
Yeah. How I can now this knowing this now, it guide me now how I can act. All right.
You know what, Mike, you spoke about being practical.
Yeah.
I'm going to use last night's conversation as a brief example without getting into too much detail.
Yeah.
Just to give the listeners some small insights.
Mm.
I wasn't doing very well last night, and I just alluded to Mike that, you know what, I'm not doing too well.
Yeah.
And then you came in with information that is true to say that, you know, to lift my spirit given the situation.
Yeah.
It's relevant information, but you know what you said?
Yeah.
You said at the end, but that won't mean anything to you given what you're going through right now.
Yeah.
Now, we spoke about being aware of others' emotions and acting accordingly.
Mm.
And this is what we try to do.
Yeah.
Someone is not doing okay, right? Because of and because of how they internalize, meaning how they feel about the situation or what they are just really, really going through and how unpleasant it is. And then we want to come and cheer them up.
Yeah.
Then we want to come and tell them, no, but at least you have, but at least, no, that's not what I want to hear right now.
Yeah.
Okay. In fact, it doesn't even mean anything to me. What you're doing right now is just making a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So emotional intelligence would tell you that, okay, let me have this. Let me allow this person to experience what they're experiencing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I can see that, okay, yes, there is the trophy or the silver lining or the light at the end of the tunnel or whatever. I can see it from where I'm standing.
Yeah.
But what I am acknowledging and understanding is the person's emotions in that moment.
Mm.
And my emotional intelligence will tell me that, you know what, this is not the time to address that. So let the person be and allow them to go through that process. So again, understanding not just your own emotions, but the emotions of those around you.
Yeah.
And then determining the best possible way forward, not the most logical.
Yeah.
Because logic would tell you, no, but Dunge, why are you upset?
Yeah.
Mm. At least you are still at UNAM. Just because you failed the test, you can still go, right, you know? No.
Yeah.
So, that's irrelevant right now. So the best possible way forward, given the situation, not logic necessarily.
Yeah, exactly. So what it means that one has to understand what the other person is going through from their perspective, from their point. So yes, when you understand that guide you how you relate to them, you know?
Definitely, so, yes. Yeah.
So if this person is actually in this, and normally in a normal conversation that we have with people, we don't pay attention to that.
No.
We listen to our own, how we feel and how we think.
What we know.
Yeah. And what we know.
Yes.
Have you seen this, you know? And some, it's a typical thing that normally people do. Okay. You come from home. You come from work and I come from work. We meet at home. And then you discuss and you say, you know what? Today I had a really, really, really terrible day today. My boss just couldn't cut me, you know, he couldn't cut slack, you know, he couldn't cut me a slack. He was just bothering me. Do you know how the other person would respond? You know what? You know, at my work, you know, the person is going on also telling you what is actually happened to him or to her at work. So what you say has actually just triggered the situation in their environment, but they are not listening to what you're saying. So they are not responding to you. They are responding to their own story.
To their own story,
what happened to them. So you can go on the whole maybe 30 minutes or 1 hour talking, but you are not talking the same thing. You are talking parallel each other.
And you know, and that's another thing with emotional intelligence. There is, because what we alluded to earlier was empathy, trying to understand, trying to look at the reality from the other person's perspective.
Yeah.
But now what you're bringing in is, or rather the lack of, you know, active or effective listening and communication.
Yeah.
Because you are hearing what the person is saying, but are you listening? Or is it the other way around? I always get those two confused. Maybe you can help. Yeah. But, you know, the word, the grammar, the word, the actual sentence formulation from the person is reaching you.
Yeah.
But you are not taking the time to decode.
Yeah.
So meaning you are not taking time to really to take each word, each sentence, each phrase, each facial expression, each hand movement, hand wave, and body gesture to listen and understand what the person is saying. You are not, you know, like we would say in, sorry, Mike, in the academic terms, you know, you are not applying active listening skills, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is all part of emotional intelligence, because are you going back to being aware of your own? Are you in the state to listen to that person? To actually be able to be constructive in that conversation with that person.
Yeah.
Or because if you're not aware of your own state, right, again, being aware of your own emotions, because maybe you also came with your whole own load from work that day.
Mm.
And here Ndunge is just bombarding you with her issues. But you should, if you are aware of your own, if your emotional intelligence is at a level that is productive, you can actually say, you know what, Dunge, I hear you, but not now.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are not able to contribute, you're not able to contribute to that discussion in a manner that is conducive for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're going to go back like you said, with your own issues. Yeah, but at work also, you know? No.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So yeah. The conversation goes on without now listening to each other. And maybe these are three aspects that we need now to focus on before we now relate it to conflict resolutions. Now, let's look at three aspects that you even mentioned in what you were just saying now. Self-awareness is one of them. The other one is active listening and then also empathy. Okay.
Empathy.
Yeah. Let's start with self-awareness, which is actually, you know, when we're talking about self-awareness in emotional intelligence, what exactly I want us to start with that basic so that when we relate to some example, maybe in a conflict situation, people understand actually what that means. We keep saying you must be self-aware.
Yeah.
What exactly
does that mean, though?
What is exactly that mean? You know?
Yeah. Mm. You know, I'm actually sitting here with a big smile. If I were in studio with you, you'd wonder why I'm smiling so big. So, but yeah, you mentioned that I would do training on these things about 2 weeks ago. I did training actually on emotional intelligence, and self-awareness was one of the things that we discussed.
Yeah.
And this guy says, yeah, but just knowing yourself. I said, okay, fine. What do you mean by knowing yourself?
Mm.
So, is saying that you know I don't like the color black enough. Can you say that because you know that about yourself, you have sufficient knowledge about yourself and you can move with that? I don't like the color black.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you understand why you don't like the color black?
Yeah.
Why don't you like the color black? What's wrong? What about? I can't even say what's wrong because that's now, you know, a connotation to black. But what is it about black that makes you believe that you dislike it?
Yeah.
So self-awareness would be then you having an understanding of maybe, for example, you know, trauma that you have now linked to the color black.
Mm.
Let's say worst case where, you know, we wear black at funerals.
Yeah.
And as a young child, a parent of yours has passed on and you experience so much grief and loss.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, not just the physical absence of that parent, but then, you know, how in this is so sad, how it still happens in our black cultures, especially where, the relatives just come and they just take everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, and there's so much abuse in that time.
Yeah.
So there was so much black because that's what people are wearing. And as a child, you know, they even go to the shop to make sure that the kids are wearing black.
Yeah.
So you've now associated the color black with that pain that you've experienced.
Mm.
And now you carry that pain and it's associated with the color black.
With the color black, yeah.
But you have not made that link.
Yeah.
So you go through your adult life and now you are at it's called a black tie event. It does not really mean that you have to wear black, but just because the word black is in it, your whole perception on that beautiful event has just been run over. But you don't understand. You just, yeah, but black, but you have an understanding. Now, self-awareness will make you understand that, you know what? I've associated the color black with the pain that I experienced. This pain came from the loss of a parent and what I experienced from the relatives, for instance.
Yeah.
Now, self-awareness will allow you to acknowledge it, and then to process it.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So that even when you do see black, because it could still trigger. Even when you do see black, you will know that no, black is not black. Black in itself is not the problem.
Yeah, yeah. You may even met somebody that you would have liked, but because he's wearing black.
Because they're wearing black.
Then you have an attitude. You have an attitude. You have an attitude towards them, and you just missed out on your Mr. Right because you're wearing a black.
And you're running after the Mr. Right now.
You see?
Right?
Yeah.
So, self-awareness will allow you to the, and it can, and we're actually joking about it, but it's so true because then it makes you lose out on opportunities that could otherwise be very, very, profitable to you as an individual, right?
Mm.
So self-awareness is having a deeper, because all of these, I don't like black, my favorite color, or I prefer what movies, those are all superficial.
Yeah.
There is most often, most likely, a deeper rooted explanation as to why that is a preference or not a preference.
Yeah. Actually, the best way may be, not the best way. The other way may be looking at it is like, you are a very unique person in the way how you behave. First of all, in the way, if something happened to you, you have a way how you react to things that are totally different from other people. Now, what you have to ask yourself is that, why do I react differently from other people? So that means that there's something specific about you that you need to be aware of, which actually determine how you act in that way. You know, it could be your upbringing. You know, it could be a situation that happened, like the example you have given. So there's so much things that you have gone through, maybe in your childhood or even in your adult,
childhood.
Maybe you break up in there was a traumatic experience that you went through. Sometimes it's not just about a traumatic, could be a good experience as well that that create a foundation how now you behave in a certain way. Yeah. So, that's when you now, when this becomes a habit or a way of doing things, it's become automatic to you. And you never really pay attention. Why do I behave in that way? So as we have seen, certain way of behavior can then become a problematic in your life, can then, you know, affect the way you communicate, either even to yourself and to others as well.
Yeah.
So, and that's why when we talk then self-awareness, it's really recognizing and acknowledging, where this way of thinking, this way of behaving is actually coming from.
And then modifying that thought processes if it's necessary.
Yeah.
You know, because is it
still serving me? Is it still serving me to be to be a happy person?
Exactly. So being aware of that, you and I often would laugh at the attitude of Oshekendiringao. I'm sorry. I hope I'm not breaking protocol.
No. Say it's okay. You can use any language.
And generally these, you know, of course, looking at it from a mental health perspective, mental health professional perspective, you are almost curious to want to intervene and see, okay, what happened here?
Yeah.
What is going on here? Because even that statement alone becomes very deep, or can actually be very deep. And, you know, if you almost want to go in, you know, and dig and see what's going on there.
Mm.
But it for me, it is a big indication of, a lack of self-awareness.
Exactly.
You've now created this facade and you carry it and you have convinced yourself that is who you are and no one can ever. But as a mental health professional, I know that change is always possible. I mean, this is why I'm in the field.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's no point I do what I do. There's no point that you do what you do. But change is always possible. So what do we change from? And like you said, and what do we keep? Because not all experiences are traumatic. Not all behaviors are counterproductive. Some we need to really keep and harness and even pass on if possible.
Before we go to empathy and what is the other thing that I said we will talk about?
Active listening.
Yeah, active listening. Let's now relate this, what we have talked about, self-awareness, to how you can use that as a tool for conflict management.
You know, our triggers, I mentioned the word trigger. I love the word triggers because it's so real, you know, and oftentimes we're not aware of it, you know, and I've seen it. I mean, guys, we're human, right?
Yeah.
People think that, but you are in the field. Why? It's like, no, but I'm human still. So, it's true. I'm not exempted from experiences. So we have triggers.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. We have triggers. So being self-aware will allow you to read a situation and recognize your triggers.
Yeah.
Okay. So you are in this conflict or possible conflicting situation.
Mm.
Right. And then you see someone say something. or you hear them say something or move in a certain way.
Yeah.
And if you are aware to an extent that your triggers are something that you're very aware of, it's very easy to say, you know what? Because it might not be that the person is wrong.
Yeah.
It's just that the way they're behaving is making you feel, or is most likely, you're most likely to respond a certain way.
Yeah.
It's very
Let me just quickly add, before you continue to add to that, just to give people, listeners actually understand, the emotional trigger is anything that provokes a strong emotional reaction in you,
and that
could be either a word or an action or even a tone of voice. Yeah.
I mean, even a color, a taste.
Exactly.
Now, everything in your senses.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
I'll use this as an example. When I was pregnant with my son, there's this particular perfume that I could not stand.
Yeah.
And I had to go to my colleague and ask him, it was a male colleague, and ask him to please. And of course, I thank God he was a married man, so he understood.
Yeah.
Because someone who's got no experience would look at you and think, how dare you tell me not to wear my perfume?
Yeah.
He said, no, I'm so sorry, I'll not wear it for the duration. And he really didn't. But ever since after that, if that smell comes, it triggers a nauseating feeling within me.
Yeah.
The perfume did not do anything to me. There is nothing wrong with the perfume. And this is what I'm saying. The other person could not be wrong.
Yeah.
It's just your own personal, you know. Now, unfortunately, this is physiological, or maybe it's even psychological, you know. But there are some triggers. So, yes, going back to the conflicting. So, I was just trying to emphasize that, you know, the triggers can really come from anywhere.
Yeah.
It can be anything, and it's not necessarily that it was a bad thing or that the person or thing is wrong, but then, you know, it triggers something.
Mm.
So going back to the conflict resolution situation, you know, you're being so self-aware that you can recognize your triggers will allow you to step away or to even just change your thinking in that very moment.
Yeah.
Recognizing that, you know what, I'm starting to feel a certain way about this, or you know, I can't handle it, let me walk away. And it's quite okay to walk away.
Yeah.
Yes, the next person might not understand. Yeah, but we're busy talking and now you're walking away. No.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because you are self-aware and because you're trying to maintain a certain level of peace.
Yeah.
Right? You can. You really, because then you know that things are going to get out of hand.
Yeah. Just for an example, just a quick where you are there before I guess that thread of my thought. So, and imagine you are in a meeting. I'm just giving an example. You're sharing an idea and someone cuts you off. Suddenly you feel a wave of frustration and you think, why don't they respect me? You know, now that reaction, it doesn't necessarily actually coming. It might not necessarily coming from that the person actually interrupt you. It's actually coming from something else.
Yes.
And actually, when now you're recognizing the trigger of that emotion, which might not be necessary what the person say, but it's coming from something you have experienced where you always feel that people don't respect you. It's actually not that person, but you're coming with the belief that people don't respect you.
Yes.
So now, because you have that belief that people don't respect you, anyone who actually now does something, it's kind of a confirmation of what you believe already.
Yes.
And therefore, your reaction now would actually be based on that belief, and definitely it won't be a good reaction.
And again, what you're talking about now is worldview.
Yeah.
What your worldview is influences how you see things. Like, you know, during counseling, I would say, I'll use the term or the analogy of, glasses, sunglasses.
Yeah.
You know, they come in different shades, right? So you have the very, very colorful ones.
Yeah.
So if you're going to walk around, Mike, with purple shaded glasses, even if I come there with my white shirt, what shade are you going to see? Purple.
Exactly. Yeah.
So everything around is going to be purple. And yes, you might be able to distinguish small what color that is in actuality, but there are things that you are not going to be able to see clearly, and because they are distorted by the shades that you have on.
Yeah.
If you take off the purple and you put on pink, same thing. If you put on orange, same thing.
Yeah, but then if you don't recognize, if you don't then recognize that I have pink color on, you just think that
seeing things like that.
That the things are just like the way. That's what the reality is.
You have clear glasses, meaning until you have a clear perspective, then you will see things for what they are. So again, self-awareness is again also not just your triggers. You know, self-awareness is so complex. It has so many.
Do you just hold on, just cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash, it's that simple.
You know, we have to pay the bills.
We have to pay the bills. For instance, right?
Yeah.
Now you don't pick up on me. Is this job allowing you to still be yourself or is it drowning you? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe that's my concern, but in your head, it's, you don't care about me anymore. That's why you don't pick up on me. But no, listen to understand. So what then? We're speaking about being practical. What then, you know, ask. What do you mean I don't check up on you? No, I don't understand. You know, is it because I just, and then you're like, oh no, it's just because I'm still new. I'm still trying to find my feet, but I think in about a month's time, I should be fine. Are you sure you're not drowning? No, I'm not drowning. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Let me give you your space for a month. And then this person also knows that for the next month. And then you also understand that this person is just also worried about you.
Yeah.
Because maybe you really were the person that would call every second day.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And it's out of character for you to not be calling. Is everything okay? Because you don't check up on me anymore. Right?
And from what you're saying, the shift, it's quite very minimal. It doesn't ask really a massive energy. First of all, it's just the way how you approach the whole conversation and how you yourself communicate to a level where now you show the understanding of what it really, not only what the person is saying, but where they're coming from what they are saying.
You know, Mike, what you just said now is so, it's a double-edged,
yeah.
Because the shift is not so much, but it can be difficult.
Yeah.
It can be difficult. It's really not much. It doesn't, but it can be difficult because it's unfamiliar.
Mm.
If you look at how a majority of how we've been conditioned, being academic, how we've been trained. Yeah, that's the word,
yeah.
What we've learned throughout our upbringing, what we've picked up, you know, are you then, have you, again, because the upbringing has not allowed you to listen, but to just receive, right? What a damn grand type of attitude, you know? That's where we come from, a lot of us.
Yeah.
You cannot air your opinion. So you just have to listen to what the other person is saying, and that's it.
Yeah.
So now you grow up with that. So the person said to me, you don't take up on me anymore. You now have received that face value, nothing, right? Now, what are those skills? Because it's making you feel a certain way. And quite honestly, sometimes it comes because our emotions are oftentimes triggered by people because we do not expect a certain behavior from a certain person.
Yeah.
Now, if we can recognize that, you know, then perhaps, again, from this conversation, pick up the skill of active listening to say, okay, what do you mean? I don't check up on you. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Allowing the other person then perhaps then who also comes from a background where they also have not been taught to really, really express themselves, then maybe you have now, you give them a platform now to communicate. And I always try to say, you know, and for me, this is so true. What we try to run away from the things that make you feel horrible, that make you feel, you know, all these negative emotions, underappreciated, not valued, not wanted. Don't run to that spot first.
Yeah.
You know, try to first, you know, try. And I'm saying, and this is why I said, you're right. It's not difficult, but it's not hard, but it can't. What did you say? But it can be difficult because it's a mind shift, right? It's a thought processing shift. It's a paradigm shift. You need to start thinking differently from how you normally think, right?
Yeah. Before we move to the other, to empathy, if you're listening, let me give you some, you know, some task for the week, you know, for you to practice listening. So what I want you to do, if you're listening, choose one conversation where you consciously, I'm choosing my word, consciously listening without interrupting, you know? And like what Ndunge have said, had just given an example a few minutes ago, you know, use paraphrasing to confirm what the other person is saying. So, because that's a way you're showing that you are listening. All right. So please try it. Take just one conversation.
Yeah.
That you are really conscious, consciously listening without really interrupting. The other thing, when I often said people must write down, you know, write down what you noticed. Okay. Did the other person respond differently when you actively listened? So because you want to see when I actively listened, actually I saw a difference in how the other person actually responded. I didn't even say reacted. But how that person actually responded.
Responded, yes.
Yeah. So see the difference, and that's how you learn. And you have to practice this. When we're talking about emotion intelligence, it's like it's like preparing for what? It's not something that you think that you're gonna practice it when conflict is happening. You have to start already practicing in small things, and that's why I'm asking you to do some of this kind of things so that you learn yourself already. And ask other people, ask other person how they felt about the conversation. And this can also help you refine your own listening skills. So.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
I love that last part, you know, the reflecting, from the other person, because oftentimes we reflect on our own, and obviously, whatever opinions we come up with are based on are subjective because it's me reflecting on me, right?
Exactly.
But the moment you involve the next person on your reflection process, then you get the reality that you would otherwise not have thought of, because then that person is giving you feedback on you, and they're giving it from their experiences of you and their perception on you.
Yeah.
And we should be able to receive that. Again, you know, the exercise that Mike is now setting out is an exercise of learning.
Yeah.
And we go through that as well. You know, you discover truths about yourself that you didn't know.
Yeah.
Some pleasant, some not pleasant. But because it's a learning, and you should be able, because we're hoping that the idea is to become, to improve and become a better person.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And mind you, are already a good person. You're just becoming, you're just working at becoming better and better and better. Isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and even if it's a criticism, how can I use this criticism to improve on who I am?
Yeah.
Because mind you, the person again is criticizing the way you may be, the tone that you use, and not criticizing me. You're not saying that Ndunge, you're a bad person.
Yeah.
I just, you know, you just speak very harshly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
okay.
Thinking, okay.
Let's move to the last part, because later on, the line I'm using, I would like later on people also to come through. And also have their opinion or share their contribution on this topic. So now Another powerful tool for resolving conflict is really empathy, which is part of the emotional intelligence. You know, you might have heard, you know, the phrase, step into someone else's shoes, you know. But what does that really mean?
What does that mean? Like, tell us, what does that mean?
So, some people have big feet and some people have small feet. You know.
So how am I going to?
How am I going to fit into their shoes? You know.
But yeah, no. It's taking back to the example that I used earlier on what happened between you and I last night, where you could, you know, it's you stepped into my shoes by gaining, and mind you, it's never going to be 100%.
Yeah.
You know, but you allowed yourself, I'm not going to phrase this, but there must be a level of understanding, of what the other person could possibly be experiencing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Possibly be experiencing, because what you do now is you now envision in your mind that, okay, this person is stuck along the road. Okay.
Mm.
It's dark, right? There are a lot of streets, you know, I mean, our roadsides are just bush.
Yeah.
Okay. So there is, possible dangers of not just hijacking, but also wild animals. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Do they, you know, if they don't have food, they could be hungry. You know, it's rainy season. So are they raining? You know, is it raining? So how scary, you know, so you are envisioning all of these possible realities and then trying to get some understanding yourself of what the person could be going through based on the information that they've given you.
Yeah.
Okay. So empathy is really, placing yourself in the situation of the person and then through that gaining then an understanding of what they are experiencing.
Yeah. In a simple way is that it's about showing you care enough to see things from their perspective.
Their perspective.
Yeah. So and sometimes you may not be agreeing with what they're saying. It just actually put yourself in the situation to see it from their perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. And normally when you do that, when people feel that now, this is now the reasons why we're bringing this aspect into, conflict resolution is that when people feel that their emotion are acknowledged, the tensions are often melt away. You understand? Are you still there?
Yeah.
No, think about when
you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly why I had that little moment, because, you know, because now the truth is, as human beings, we're all pleasure seeking beings.
Yeah.
Somewhere. We want pleasure, and however we define that pleasure, whether it's peace, whether it's my enjoyment, you know, whatever.
Mm.
But, you know, that's what we seek. So if someone has an understanding of that pleasure component that is important to me, whatever defenses I had will be brought down. And this is why you'll find friendships of a certain kind, because you and I, my enjoyment together, yo, let's do this. Because you understand, or because I've now seen that you have an understanding of what brings me pleasure.
Yeah.
Then I can connect with you.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the moment that my enjoyment is criticized.
Yeah. Yeah.
By a particular person, you stay away from that person, because to you, that person doesn't understand you.
Mm.
Okay. They don't have an understanding of that. So then your defenses towards this person are up high again.
Yeah.
But if there is a level of feelings of acceptance, or feeling of being understood, or feelings of you know, being related to, you know, because the person doesn't necessarily have to be running club hopping with you.
Yeah.
But if they just have a, whatever level of acceptance, so to say, or yeah. whatever level of empathy towards your way of being, you know, you are very likely to not be defensive towards your behavior anymore. Mm. And even if it was to be corrected, if it's being done in an empathetic manner to yeah. say, okay, I understand, or, you know, I see, you know, in a very non-criticizing way,
yeah.
you know, the person becomes more receptive.
Mm, yeah.
So, more receptive to the correction.
Exactly. So in most cases, the tension goes up because, you know, the other person actually failed to acknowledge what you are going through.
Your experiences.
Yeah, your experiences. And remember earlier on when I said that, you know, from whatever person communicating to, there are two elements to it. One is what they say to what happened. And the other one is actually, you know, the emotions, the experience that they are going through.
Yeah.
And most of the time, you know, even if what happened might be wrong or whatever, the people want you, they want you to acknowledge and understand yes. what they are going through. Because
yes,
at that point in time,
what you see it to be. Yes.
Exactly. And when you think in terms of, think of about a time when someone really said to you, and when they mean it, I understand what you are going through. Eh? Did it make feel a little lighter? Of
yes.
course.
Mm. Yes. You know, yeah. yeah.
And just this simple acknowledgement can diffuse yes. the anger and open the door to real conversation.
And you spoke about connection, Mike.
Yeah.
It doesn't just open the doors of communication, but through that communication, a connection is built.
Yeah.
A connection is reinforced. A connection is fixed if it was broken. You know, it brings about a connection. And at the end of the day, as human beings,
yeah.
the one thing that remains key is being connected to each other or to significant others or to those that we, you know, hold value towards. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, empathy can never ever really be underplayed, because as human beings, the one thing, you know, I mean, why am I always just wrong?
Yeah.
So no, like in this whole world, no one can actually really see things from my perspective.
Yeah.
Right? And how does that then, how would that individual go through life? How would that make them feel? What type of individual then are we sending out there if these are the type of feelings that they have?
Mm.
And quite honestly, Mike, and I'm sorry to have to bring this in, this is why, you know, issues of suicide then get to such height, because people don't feel understood.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's definitely and which also, because that everyone, you are in your own, we don't step outside of our own world. You remember the story that we talked about earlier on, that when we come from work, you tell a story what is going on with your boss, and I'm go on with also what is have been going on with you. That means I don't give it you a time for to acknowledge what you are going through and just pay attention to you. Yeah, and that's why you have even young people that, you know, feel that nobody understands my situation.
Nobody understands me, and I'm alone in this world.
Yeah,
and then they do what they do, and it's so sad, because
it is true that we don't, as a society, we don't practice empathy anymore.
We don't.
Yeah.
And whether it's the paper chase, whether it's whatever, whether social media that has now isolated us, whatever the case, there needs, again, and I've said this before and I'll continue to say that, we need to put in deliberate effort.
Yeah.
There needs to be intentionality to still maintain the human connection so that the human psyche can remain healthy.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. So, Dunge? Let me give you this opportunity now, just to, from your side, to wrap up. And what is that you still have to, you know, maybe to add to our conversation, as regard to, how emotional intelligence, can be a tool, for conflict resolution?
You know, the word conflict already shouts my emotions. You know, it is like our emotions, like everyone is at the peak of emotions.
Yeah.
And this is where you really then.
Lost her. Oh, guys. I lost her. It's me who called. Shouldn't be. Yeah, just hold on, and I just want ahead to finalize her point. Of course, to say goodbye. That's not how I want her to say goodbye. You are there with me?
I am.
Okay,
yeah,
that's not how I wanted you to say goodbye, actually.
No. Can I have a redo, please?
Yeah. just go on. Yeah.
No, I was saying that the word conflict already on its own shouts, heightened emotions.
Yeah.
Actually a very good space and time to practice your intelligence regarding your emotions. Number one, always really be aware of not just your own, but in the emotions of the next person.
Mm.
Be aware of that to such an extent that you can actually put yours aside and focus perhaps on the other. It sounds maybe a bit impossible because, yo, I'm also angry or I'm also affected. I'm also, you know, but to move away from the self, right?
Yeah.
Serve the next person. And then also then, what is the aim? What is it that you are trying to bring out? What is the aim of that conversation that you're having with that person? And stick to that.
Yeah.
Because the moment we don't have a purpose or a target or a goal that we want to reach, we really, what do they say? When you aim for nothing, you shoot at nothing. What do they say? I don't know, but that's funny.
That's still all right. Yeah.
Yeah. So know what it is that you want to bring out. What are you trying to communicate? And this is now the conflict situation that we're referring to.
Yeah.
What are you trying to, what is that point that, that you're trying to bring across? And again, it's not your job to convince the next person. Say what you need to say. And if it's really becoming uncomfortable, it's okay to step away. And come and revisit the thought in at a time where everyone is a bit more settled in terms of emotions. So, you know, regulate yourself.
Yeah.
Regulate yourself because, like you said, Mike, you don't have, what is this? You don't have control over the next person.
Yeah.
But really only over yourself.
Mm.
So when you're going into, when you are in that, you're not going into a conflict, but when you see yourself in that, find yourself in that conflicting situation, regulate yourself.
Yeah. So that's one thing that we haven't talked about, regulation. We haven't talked about it in terms of emotional intelligence. But then, hopefully next time, I would like to have you on in a studio itself so that we, so that when people call, you are also here, to be able to answer to their questions and all that.
Yeah, no, that's an idea. No, yeah. It was a fantastic topic. There's so much to unpack. And, you know, Mike, maybe consider having, you know, a few discussions on it so that we can just, you know, go a bit deeper.
No, definitely.
Into some of these.
Definitely, yeah. So we just scratch over it.
Yeah, yeah.
We will definitely, you know, it's so massive. There are so much that we can talk about in terms of this. So thank you for making time really to talk to Eagle FM listeners. And definitely we will have you again in the future. And thank you for your expert and for also for your contribution on this program.
I am so thrilled. I'm really thrilled. And I really pray that it has made an impact somewhere.
All right. Thank you.
Talk soon.
All right.
Sorry. All right, let's have a musical break, and then we come back. You can actually now come through. Our time is about, what is the time? 21 minutes past the hour of 12. So we still have a couple of minutes now for you to come through and have your contribution, your experience. We will get into that. For now, let's go old school. Don William, I Haven't Been Loved by the Best.
Darling, if you ever leave me, well, I'll just put my heart away. I couldn't love again, believe me. No one could please me anyway. And if another ever came along, settle now for less, why bother with the rest? Baby, I've been to the top, I guess. With you I have been blessed, I won't take nothing less. I've been loved by the best. If you ever get tired of me, well, I won't look for someone new. 'Cause looking back on how you loved me, no one could measure up to you. And if they tried to win this heart of mine, best. I can't settle now for less, why bother with the rest? Baby, I've been to the top, I guess. With you I have been blessed, I won't take nothing less. I've been loved by the best. Nothing else could be even close. I've been loved by the best. I can't settle now for less. Why bother with the rest? Baby, I've been to the top, I guess. With you I have been blessed. I won't take nothing less. I've been loved by the best.
I have been loved by the best. That is Don William, Very classic. Beautiful song. Beautiful song indeed. So welcome back. This is our time is about 25 minutes past the hour of 12. And this is Mind Matter. And I have Frida Ndunge Yambo. Is someone who have done a lot of training in terms of mental health issues, and also especially when it comes to emotional intelligence. Yeah, so yeah, I have him, and really we covered a couple of aspect looking at much of the things that we look at. Most people always want to know what is self-awareness also all about, you know, and looking at that, and also said when you know yourself, how do then use that as an instrument, you know, to manage conflict. So we went into that. The other things that we looked at is it's active listening. You know, it's also something that people talk about in terms of, you know, you have to listen. What exactly that means? We went into that, and also then link it to how then when you actively listen, what does that really mean? And how do you can apply that into when it come to, tension and conflict situations? We did as well that. So the other thing is then empathy as well. As a tool for conflict resolution. So that's also what we went through. And hopefully if we are listening, you know, I hope that you have taken something that you can be able to use, for yourself as well. So the other thing is also, communication, effective communication. When emotion run higher, the way we express ourselves can either And understand that can either calm the storm or make it worse. It's normally how do we communicate that. So there's a powerful, what people refer to the I statement, you know. This concept is normally spoken in terms of defensive, if you like, defensive mechanisms. Have you ever been in an argument when someone said, no, you never listen? Yeah. How did that make you feel? So when somebody says, you never listen, accusation like this can immediately put the other person on the defensive. You understand? That's why I said to become a defensive mechanisms. So you never listened. And how does then that make the other person react? It react more defensively, shutting down. And that can also then make a conversation unproductive. You know? So, this power of I statement, normally, help to diffuse that kind of communication or conversation, and allow that productive conversation and engagement and connection. So for example, so imagine if the same person now said, the one you said, you never listen, okay? If maybe, I'm just an example, I feel unheard when I try to share my thought. Now the person said, I feel unheard when I share my thought, and I would love for us to work on that. You see, is that different? Is that different when someone said, you never listen to me? You know, then when I said, the power of I statement, normally referred to, is that, you know, whatever you, because you want to own the process that you're going through, it is yours. How you feel, it has nothing to do with the other person. Remember that. How you feel has nothing to do with the other person. They are not the one who make you feel the way you feel. You still choose to feel that way. They may have what they said, what they have done, may have triggered some kind of emotion in you, but the direction you take how to feel, definitely that's your choice. So we talked about that in previous shows. So therefore, it coming from that idea that it's not the other person who did that. So whatever choice of the feeling that you have is actually the kind of feeling that you're going through it's still your own choice of that. It is still you who make the process that make you feel that way is still your own doing. So therefore, when you state that I feel unheard when I try to share my thought, you know, that's your process. You're acknowledging that. And I would love for us to work on that. That allow now that kind of, it's softer, less confrontational, and open the door for collaboration. You see that? So rather than you never listen, and this is normal how we talk. You never listen. You always, be careful when you always, when you use this kind of sentence, you never remember. That only shut the other person in a defensive, mode, which then it doesn't lead to a productive conversation. So, as I said, you are most welcome to come through now. My line are open now. You can now come through and share your stories. What is your story? How do you handle conflict in your relationship, in your life? So you welcome to come through and this is a very big topic. As I said, we haven't covered quite a lot of stuff. Maybe we might find another time again and go into really, because when you talk about what is happening in our country at this point in time, the conflict, domestic violence and all that, where does all that come from? It comes from on how we handle our emotions. It comes from how we process our emotions. And this is exactly emotional intelligence that we're talking about. You know? So if we learn this, and some of these things, you may listen to it and think, I can tell you certain things that I ask you to do are scientific. And if you do them, they will make a different shift in your life. And sometimes it's not even about, it's a mind shift. Sometimes it's just actually a mind shift. So that's really very, very, very important to understand. So words matter, but so do your tone and body language. I'm talking about communication now here, because it's an aspect that we didn't touch on, with Ndunge. So if you say, I understand, let's say, for example, if you say, I understand, but your arms are crossed. You see that? So you said, I understand. But your arms are crossed, your voice is sharp, and your eyes are rolling. I wish you can see me how I'm doing it. I understand. The message definitely won't land. So your body language tells something else, and then what you actually saying. So that's also very important. So we don't just communicate by what we say, because most of the time we found, but you know, you remember I said what? No, you may have said what you said, but that is not the strong message. The message is your body language. You know, in most first, sometimes we defend ourselves in those cases thinking, no, but I said what? But I say sorry. Yeah, but I say sorry. But of course you say sorry, but your body language, it doesn't say sorry. And you know that the message from our body language, it's more truer than actually the message from our mouth. So what we feel, how we express how we feel, it's much truer, if there's such an English, it's more true than what we say. Because I could be really sick now or sad. And if you ask me, how do you feel? I can tell you, no, I'm fine. But you can see from my face that, no, this person is not fine. So your body language communicate more a true message than what you say with your mouth. So now focus on when you communicate, and especially when it comes to conflict resolutions. So then keep your arm, body language, open body language is very important, because it says something as well. So keep your arms relaxed. Maintain eye contact without really, showing aggression in the way how your body posture, in your body posture. So in even in the way how you speak, the tone, you know, the tone answers on how. Sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it. You know? So that's very important as well. So, and also avoid things like glaring and smirking and all that, as they can come across as defensive. And that actually does not create the connection that you want when you're dealing with a very tense situation. Now, so simple things, as I said, this is a simple thing. It could even come to certain things that, to how you communicate, just phrases, the phrases that you use in your daily interaction, that can also create an effective communication. And you create an effective communication in your daily interaction with others, in your daily habit. So your daily habit can, and if you want to change, you have to start, you know, don't wait until a conflict happened for you to practice it. Start already practicing in your day-to-day communication, in their day-to-day interactions. So say, for example, a simple thing, as I said, you always interrupt me. Now, remember now when you said you always, the other person, from when they hear you always, and they know that, that's not true, that always. Eh? So that already become, it disconnect you from, already disconnect you from the other person. It already in, create what? A disrupt, an unproductive communication. So you always interrupt me. Maybe try, I would like to finish my thought before hearing your perspective. That's different. So I would like to finish my thoughts before hearing your perspective. So you see how that is different, and how that can be perceived now by the other person? Simple thing, you never, remember when you always use the word always, never, all those kind of words, you never help around the house. You never help around the house. Excuse me. So you never help around the house, for example. So maybe change that. Do you remember when I talked about the power of I statement? You know, when it comes to communication, and I feel, for example, maybe you can say it, I feel overwhelmed when I handle the chores alone. I feel. So you actually focusing on you, rather than when you say you never help around the house, the other person become more defensive, and that conversation will lead nowhere. So I feel overwhelmed when I handle the work at home all by myself. Could we divide them maybe more evenly? That could be the thing. So I'm just giving you this simple way of looking at how you communicate. So that would definitely make a big difference. So you must have some kind of a checklist, you know, your communication checklist, you know, a tool to improve your conflict communication. How do you do that? Now, every time when you find yourself in a situation, you know, in a conflict situation, one thing that you need to do, pause before you speak. Okay? That's why they say, think before you speak. Pause before you speak. Take a moment to choose your word. Because what you say, remember this, and once you make that a habit, you know, we don't just react. And normally when we use that kind of habit, when you just react, that's how sometimes the person react. In the end, you said, "Ooh, I shouldn't have said that," or "I shouldn't have done that," because you go on with this habit of just reacting. So now I'm giving you now a communication checklist. Okay. So that you can always, you know, follow. One, you know, think before you act. You can say that, or pause before you speak. So take a moment to choose your word. because what you say has impact on your relations with that person. Depending, whether it's your boss, either it's your friend, either it's your boyfriend, it's your husband, it's your wife, whatever the case may be. So therefore, what you choose to say, it's very important. The relation are broken up because of what we say. All right? Now, I talked about the I statement earlier. Focus on your feeling and needs. Do you understand? Not the other person's flaws. You see the difference that we were just looking at now, the one I was just giving you now, the true difference that I was saying. You never had, I was saying, if you said you never help around the house, so what are you saying? You actually focus on the flaws of the other person. But what I'm asking you is to focus on your feelings and needs. So I feel overwhelmed. That's your own feeling. I feel overwhelmed. You're focusing on you. Why? When I handle chores alone, when I handle work at home alone. So can we divide them more evenly? So the focus is on you. It's not actually blaming the other person. You talk about your own needs. You're talking about, you know, your feeling about the situation. And that open up a more productive conversation. So, you following? So, first, take a moment to choose your word, because that's very important. And then focus on your feelings and needs, not the other person's flaws. Learn to do that. So, and then, other things that we don't pay attention to is then be mindful of the tone. Simple thing, as I said, when we're looking at these, is we're not some, maybe you're waiting for something bigger that you need to do. Maybe you have to go to Mecca and go around the whatever 7 times. No, it's a simple thing. Mindful of your tone. Stay calm and respectful, even when you're upset. You have no right, because when your tone changes, you have no justification in terms of, I used that tone because I was upset. You know, you can then use any justification. You know, I beat him because I was angry. We can also, you know, then we can accept that as well, because your anger make you bitter. It was not you. Then you see, the logic doesn't work. So that's very important. Be mindful of your tone. Stay calm and be respectful. Even, as I said, even when you're upset, even when you're angry. Okay. But you can only do that when you learn, if you learn how to control yourself, how to control your emotions. And the other things that we talked about, when you learn how to be aware, are you aware of your emotion? Are you aware of your feelings? Are you aware of those? Can you recognize that as well? So, and then the other things then are the checklist of your communication checklist is then check your body language. So stay open, non-threatening. So because you speak more with your body language as well, not only what you say, but also how you behave. That also a very strong communication that you're sending out there. So those are some of the very, whenever now you are find yourself in a conflict, tensions or conflict tension situation, think about your communication checklist. Okay. Think about that quickly. Okay. So maybe write it somewhere, just for you to understand. Pause before you speak. That means take a moment to choose your word and then use the I statement, where you focus on your own feeling and your need rather than actually on other person's flaws. And then, be mindful of how you speak, of your tone. So stay calm, be respectful, even when you are angry or you are upset or whatever the case may be. And then check your body language. So stay open, your body language, stay open and in a non-threatening, way. So now improving how we communicate, it doesn't just resolve conflict. it strengthen, and remember that it strengthen our relationship. So when we come back, let's have also another commercial break. And then when we come back, maybe we can look at the, some of the skills maybe that we need, that we can apply in some of these situations. So stay tuned, and you're most welcome to come through. So our telephone number is 0833-66091, 0833-66091. If you want to engage me and have your contribution on today's topic. So let's have a musical break. We are going to have, okay. Let's have Elton John, Sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
All right, welcome back. So welcome back. And our time is about 9 minutes now to the hour of 1 o'clock. And it has been really a great pleasure being in your company. Yeah, so, and the topic of today is quite really very, it's very important. Yeah, the, maybe the other aspect before I come, before we really come to the end, and you must, we still have about 8 minutes. So if you want to come through and you, you want to share and you want to contribute, you can still do that. Our telephone number again, 08333666091. So do come through. As I said, I'll put you through if you want to have, to share your opinion and on the topic that we have today. So yeah. Now the other part, the other point, maybe aspect that we haven't looked at it very much. And I said this whole, emotional intelligence actually is a very, very broader field. And there are so many things that one can go into. Yeah. The other things that I want us maybe to think about, it's as a way actually, dealing with conflict resolution is finding a common ground. I have used that kind of way looking at things. Now, here's the thing, you know, here's the thing. So when you think of most conflicts are not about people being fundamentally, when you're looking at people are fundamentally opposed to each other, you know, often it's about misunderstanding, or focusing too much on the differences. When any argument that happened, so the reasons why the tension goes up and all that is because we focus on the differences. So now when you reframe the disagreement to focus now on the shared goals, so whatever in dispute, do you have something in common? Is there something that you can work together and move forward? You can now be able to cooperate. The cooperation become possible. So when you now reframe a disagreement to focus on shared goals, cooperation become possible. So, and also when you talk to people, especially when it comes to counseling or mentoring or something, so you try to reframe the disagreement that people focusing on to focus on a shared goals. Is there anything that you have in common? Maybe then you can start work from there. So normally you see that, when you focus on a shared goals, cooperation actually become possible. So that's one thing that you must be able to look at in that way. When you find yourself in a tension and a dispute. So now, I can give you a quick exercise you can try next time you are in a disagreement that you can use actually. One is actually to pause and reflect. Ask yourself, what is that both we want? I'm talking now in terms of finding a common ground. All right? So what do we both want? And this is now, if you make that a habit, it would definitely diffuse quickly, you know, the tension that's going on between the two of you or whoever you are, whether it's in the meeting, whether it's between the two couple, whatever the case may be. So now one thing is that what do we both, I'm talking about now finding a common ground. So, and if you make that a habit always as a part of the tool of your tool that you can use when it comes to conflict, to disagreement, then yeah, no, it's something that would be very helpful as well in some situation. Excuse me. So ask yourself, pause and reflect, by asking yourself, what do we both want here? What is that both we want here? Because if you focus on your differences, you both actually, you are actually going two different directions. You're absolutely going two different directions. Now state the shared goals. What is that you want? What is the shared goal? What is that something that you have in common? If you are arguing over how to spend money, maybe you're arguing how to spend money. Say, I just give an example. I think we both want to make sure that we are financially secure. I'm just giving an example. I think we both want to make sure that we are financially secure. And if you agree on that, yes. So the argument was now on how to spend money. That was the arguing. And what is that you both have? What is your shared goal? Your shared goal is actually that both of you want to spend your money responsibly. You have to have a financial secure. So then state that. So you see now, you have something both of you now can, you know. Now brainstorm solution together. So work as a team now to list ideas that support the shared goals. That's how you move away from your individual focus, from your differences. So that's a quick tool one can be able to use when it comes to that. Yeah. And I want you to think, let me give you some kind of activity while you're listening. So I want you to think of a disagreement you have recently. Any disagreement you have recently, whether at home, at work, or with a friend. So think of that. I want you to think of one that you had. Now, identify, I just want to do to help you to understand the shared goal I was talking about. Identify the shared goal. Maybe it is creating a peaceful home environment. You never know. If it's in a relationship, so we all want to create that peaceful home environment. Maybe that's what you want. What else? Maybe it's achieving success at work, or maybe planning a memorable event somewhere. All right. So once you have done that, brainstorm one or two solutions that support that shared goal. Then you are deflecting yourself from the differences. You understand? So that's how you can use, this tool. So what it means is that instead of focusing on what is wrong, ask what is important to both of us. So that's also the focus, because no matter how much you emphasize how the other person is actually wrong and all that. So the better, what do we have in common? What is important for both of us? All right. So then, yeah. So, and then you kind of use the positive language then in terms of what you have, of your shared goal. For example, that we both care about so such and such. And rather than ask, you don't understand. Don't use the word. You don't understand, but you use now. You don't understand, you know, rather use now. But yeah, as I can see, we both care about these, and then that's how you move on. What you're trying to do in all this practice, you're trying to diffuse the tensions to grow higher, to grow bigger and all that. So then you collaborate on your solutions. So treat the problem as a shared challenge, not a competition, you know? So, in that way is how you can be able to move forward. So when you focus on what unites us, instead of what divides us, a conflict becomes opportunity for growth and connections. So once you make that a habit, you'll find yourself always in that you start to see conflict as an opportunity. It's an opportunity to grow and connect. So if you start to see that as an opportunity of growth and connections, and if you make that a habit, you are not when you come into a conflict, you're not kind of like, okay, it's another argument that we have to go through. But you see, well, it's another opportunity for us actually maybe to see an opportunity to grow and in most cases to connect. So, if you handle that very well, you will always end up actually connecting. And sometimes in a very good way, you remember. Sometimes it's when you know, let's go out. Right? That's when now, okay? Let's now go out. Let's have some dinners. Let's do what. Yeah. And also let's get into the other room. All right. Our time is about 2 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. So yes, and that's bring us to the end of Mind Matters. And so we see if we can do this again, if we can focus on this and touch other aspect, because they are very important aspect, and especially when it comes to how do we control our emotion in situation like that, and how do we use emotional intelligence to control how we manage our own emotion and how we then react to other people, whatever they say, whatever they do. So that's all what I have for you today. It was a very, very packed, very exciting. Hopefully you have enjoyed what we bring to you today. So until next time, here on the same station, Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station coming up, I think. Hopefully she's around. Elizabeth, or with Elizabeth Ward. For me, I will leave you. Have a great weekend, actually. So I'll leave you with, can I leave you with something? Let's get Alison Klaus, When You Say Nothing at All. Well, until next time, I'll probably see you Monday on Unpacking the Day.
It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart. Without saying a word, you can light up the dark. Try as I may, I could never explain what I hear when you don't say a thing. The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying you never leave me. The touch of your hand says you catch me if ever I fall. You say it best when you say nothing at all. All day long I can hear people talking about but when you hold me near, you drown out the crowd. Oh, Mr. Webster could never define what's being said between your heart and mine. The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes. Say it best.
I promise you.